20 this morning. Revelation chapter number 20. I'll give you just a moment to find your place while we put this hook, this microphone up here. Revelation chapter number 20. And how many of y'all like that old song, The Family of God? I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. And it's in that book. We're going to learn that as a congregational. Amen. And if you're not in the family of God, you could get in this morning. Amen. And it may be a little bit gloomy on the outside, but if you're saved, there's sunshine in your soul this morning. And I'm glad I know the light of this world. Amen. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So look with us this morning, Revelation chapter number 20. And we'll read just a few verses of scripture and pray, and then you can be seated. Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season." Father, I do want to thank you for the good presence we feel in this place, for your presence, God, that's here throughout the Sunday school hour, the good lesson, the good singing that we've heard. Thank you for your people, for the sacrificial giving of this offering. I pray now that you'll bless the reading of thy word. God, no doubt there's sinners in our midst that need to be saved. And I pray the Holy Spirit would convict them and draw them. May they come to an altar of repentance this morning and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved by the grace of God. We ask you now to have your will in your way, get glory and honor for everything that will be said and done this morning. I ask, Lord, that we would not see any man save Jesus only, and we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. We come to Revelation chapter number 20, and it's worth noting this morning that the battle of Armageddon has ended in chapter 19, and Jesus has cast the beast and the false prophet, which being the Antichrist and the false prophet, into the lake of fire, the Bible says, alive, and he has destroyed the kings and the captains and the armies and the horses of this world that have went to do battle against him. And when we come to Revelation chapter number 20, now we deal with the head or the main part of the leader of that satanic trinity and of what will, of the one that will lead this world against the very Son of God. It is Satan himself. And you know, whenever a battle is over with and a victory has been won and an army has been defeated, it is not uncommon for the leader of that defeated army to be brought forth and to be charged for the crimes that they have committed and the casualties. And when you think about it, when you think about the atrocities that they have brought upon humanity, that leader oftentimes is brought forth and he is charged with those charges, those criminal acts, and then many times sentenced to prison. Amen. Well, that's what we have here. Satan is the head behind all of this trouble. He is, listen, you go back to the Garden of Eden, and listen, he went into the garden that day and he caused Adam and Eve to fall into sin. And when God came into the garden walking in the cool of the day and he asked Adam, "Who told you you was naked?" He never did answer Adam again, but he turned to the devil and he cursed the devil first. Man became the battleground between good and evil, between heaven and hell, between God and Satan. But God waged the war on the devil that day, and there's been a battle going on ever since. At Calvary, he crushed the devil's head and bruised the heel of our Savior. Amen. But he defeated Satan for time and eternity. But there is coming a day, thank God, when Jesus is coming back to this earth. And my friend, the devil is going to have his day. Amen. I want to preach a few minutes this morning on that subject, on Satan's prison. Amen. Because when you think about it, what has happened in this text here is that the devil has reaped so much havoc. I mean, he has reaped havoc on the church. He's reaped havoc
havoc on the nation of Israel. He's wreaked havoc on the saints and the sinners all down through the ages. And now God is going to hold him accountable. First he'll go to prison, and then he'll come and be cast into the lake of fire. You see, my friend, when we come to this text this morning, this is Satan's prison. And I want you to consider some things this morning about Satan's prison, and we'll be through. I want you to notice, first of all, in verse number 1, I want you to notice Satan's conqueror. Amen. As the Bible says, and I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit. Now, I want you to think about this angel this morning, because it's, I think about the irony of this text here, that God is fixing to put Satan in prison, but he is not going to do it himself. God is not going to get off his throne for Satan. Amen. He's not coming down to this world for Satan. He's not going to have Jesus cast Satan into prison, but he's going to use an angel. I think that there's the irony of this text, simply because when you consider that Satan was the head angel in heaven before he fell, and he said that he would ascend his throne above God's throne, not only was he not capable of doing that, but when it comes time for him to be thrown into prison, God is going to use a lower ranking angel to do this, to prove that all of heaven is more powerful than any part, even the leader of hell itself. Amen. You see, Satan may roar like a lion, but he's only as a roaring lion. He may look big and he may look bad. And listen, we're no match for the devil, but he's no match for God. Amen. And he's no match for heaven's angels. And when we see this angel in our text, I want you to notice that this angel is seen here. Look what John said in verse 1. He said, and I saw an angel. You can go back in chapter 19 and even in chapter 20, and you can underline all the times that John said, and I saw. Amen. I mean, he saw heaven open, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. Amen. But he saw an angel come down from heaven. You see, John is an eyewitness of Satan going to prison in this text. And then this angel is sent. Notice the Bible says here that I saw an angel come down from heaven. You see, this angel is going to waste no time in coming after Satan. I mean, you imagine how the angels of heaven must relate to Satan. What I mean by that is that the angels, they remember everything. They remember his revolt and his betrayal against his creator before this old world was ever created. They remember his plundering and destruction of earth and humanity. They remember his temptation in the wilderness against Christ and his work against the Son of God all the way to the cross of Calvary. They remember all of his lies and his sin and deception toward mankind. They remember his persecution and the pain and all the havoc that he's brought on the bride of Christ and through the dark ages, all the times that Christians were burned at the stake and fed the lions. They know who was behind every bit of that persecution. They remember the Holocaust and hear the Holocaust of all Holocausts in the tribulation period and what he's done to Jehovah's bride. When you think about the nation of Israel, this angel remembers every bit of that. And when it comes time to go after Satan, friend, he's going to waste no time in going after him. Amen. And so this angel is seen. This angel is sent. And I want to say this angel is serious. Look what the Bible says in verse number 1, that he has the key of the bottomless pit. Now, there's no doubt this angel's on a mission. And this bottomless pit is not hell, and it is not the lake of fire. But there is a key to this bottomless pit. It was opened later, earlier chapters in the book of Revelation. Satan opened this pit to let some of those demons come out of hell that tormented man, and we know about that. But now this angel is coming down, and he's going to open this pit here. And my friend, this angel is serious. This bottomless pit speaks about the darkness. Its name in and of itself signifies the agony and the suffering suffering of the one that's about to enter into this pit or this prison here. It is a bottomless pit, and this angel is on a mission, and we know that this angel is serious. We know that he is secretive. His name is not mentioned here, for God is not even going to let the devil pride himself in it being some high archangel like Michael or Gabriel, but he's just going to send an angel, maybe one that was a lot lower rank, but he's going to send that angel down, and I'm going to tell you, this angel is serious about the mission that he is on. Amen. I want to say this morning, the devil, if I could just illustrate it like this, he's like a fourth grader picking on a kindergartner. You think about it. Now, a fourth grader could whip a kindergartner any day of the week. Somebody say amen right there. And he may look big and he may look bad. The devil, listen, he could whip us any day of the week. Isn't that right? But I'm going to tell you something. You take a high schooler, they could take that same fourth grader. And just about any high schooler could take that fourth grader and put him over his knee and wear his backside out. Isn't that right? Because the fourth grader is no match for anybody in high school. Isn't that the truth? I'm going to tell you, when you come to this text, that's how it is with Satan. Satan looks big and bad to us because we're just like a bunch of kindergartners. Amen. I'll tell you, listen, when it comes to heaven this morning, there's not one angel in heaven that couldn't whip him like a high schooler would a fourth grader. Amen. I'm talking about heaven can conquer hell any day of the week. You rest assured. And hell, listen, they may reap a lot of havoc in this world. But there's coming a day, thank God, when all of heaven's going to invade this earth and the devil's going to be on the chain gang. And thank God it's going to be peace and tranquility for 1,000 glorious years. Amen. I want to say not only, and I want to notice not only Satan's conqueror, but I want you to notice Satan's chain this morning. I want you to see the size of his chain. In verse 1, the Bible said that he had a great chain. One could only imagine how great a chain it would take to bind and to lock the most evil adversary of the universe. When you think about it, I'm saying this morning that when you think about the devil, he's worse than all the King Herods put together. He's worse than all the Bloody Marys that could ever be put together. He's worse than, listen, than all the Hitlers of this world that could ever be put together. All the Saddam Husseins and the Jeffrey Dahmers and the Ted Bundys and the Charles Mansons, all the mass murders and wicked men and evil men of this world. You know who worked in the heart and behind all of them? It was none other than the devil himself. The devil is worse, my friend, than all the criminals that you could ever, and the mean man and the killers of this world. He's worse and more evil than any of them that could ever be put together. I notice he's got a great chain here, and the size of this chain is great, signifying the one that's going to be chained to it. The devil is evil this morning. Young people, you listen to me. The devil's not your friend. Amen. That's why you don't need to listen to his music. That's why you don't need to follow his path. That's why you don't need to drink his brew. That's why you don't need to live his lifestyle. That's why you don't need to follow his world. The devil is evil this morning. The Bible says he's a thief, and he comes to kill and to steal and to destroy this morning. I see he's got a chain. Amen. I thought about when I read that text, sometimes the devil may rattle our cage, but I'm telling you, God every now and then in heaven may rattle his chain, amen, just to get his attention and remind him, thank God, big boy, your day's coming, amen. And so we notice the size of this chain, and then we think about the strength of this chain when it says it is a great chain. You see, this chain is not only big enough to bind Satan, but it's strong enough to keep him bound for 1,000 years, amen. I'm telling you, Satan is not going to be like Houdini. He's not going to work his way out of this chain. In fact, not one link of this chain is going to weaken in 1,000 years. When he comes out of that pit and when they unlock him from that chain, it will be just as tight on him the last day of that 1,000 years as what it was the first day. Amen. I'm talking about the strength of this chain this morning. It's going to hold the devil for 1,000 years. Then what about the supplier of this chain? Because liberals would say this to us. Now, Brother Gravely, that chain is not real. It's just symbolic. Go read some liberal. That's what they'll say. Well, don't read them. Don't waste your time. Amen. I'd rather watch paint dry as to read a liberal. Amen. But they'll say, well, that change's not really. It's just symbolic. I thought about that, and I wrote four things down. I said, well, number one, if man has the ability to chain another man up in prison, then why would not God have the ability to chain Satan up in prison? Amen? And then I thought about this. If it takes a physical chain to chain a physical man, then it would take a spiritual chain and a spiritual being to my friend, chain a spiritual being. I believe this chain in our text is as real this morning as the one it's wrapped around. Amen. I don't believe the devil's symbolic. Somebody say amen right there. And so I believe the devil's real. And I believe the chain that this angel is going to wrap around this devil is just as real as the one that it's wrapped about around. And then I thought about, you know, the devil. That's exactly what he would want us to think this morning. Is that, well, this is just symbolic. I'm not really going to be wrapped up with a chain and put in prison. I'm going to tell you this morning, I'm going to serve notice on the butt booger this morning, and I'm saying, listen, there's coming a day when God's going to incarcerate him. He's going to put him on the chain gang, and for 1,000 years he ain't going nowhere. He's going to be locked up and shut up, thank God, in that bottomless pit. Hallelujah. Now I notice Satan's chain. Then I notice Satan's capture. I want you to notice in verse number 2, look at this angel. He hunts Satan, the Bible says in verse 2, and he laid hold on the dragon. When I say that this angel hunts Satan, I don't mean that he had to send out a search party. It's one angel going after the devil. He didn't send no search party out. You know why? Because God always knows where the devil is. The devil doesn't always know what God's doing and where he's at all the time, what he's up to. But I promise you, God's got a tracker on the devil this morning. Heaven knows where he's at, amen. But when this angel hunts him down, he don't hunt him down like sending a search party out. He hunts him down like a bloodhound on a blood trail when he knows he's on the right trail, and he knows it's just a matter of seconds or minutes, and he's fixing to capture that prey that he's after. I'm telling you, when this angel comes down from heaven, my friend, he's going to hunt Satan. He knows exactly where he's at. He knows exactly where he's going. I'm telling you, he's going to hunt the devil down. I see this angel handles Satan. The Bible said he lay hold on him. You know what that means? That phrase, lay hold on him, it gives the idea of one being taken down with tremendous force. You see, the devil's not coming down, or the angel's not going to come down and just gently, now Satan, come on now. We're going to have to wrap you up and put you in prison for 1,000 years. No, that's not how it's going to be. Angels were God's worshipers. They were God's, they're God's workers. They're God's witness. But I tell you, they're God's warriors. Amen. Listen, they slew thousands in a night. I'm talking about they win every battle they ever fight. Man is no problem for them. There's no arsenal in this world that could ever take an angel down. All the devil is a fallen angel. And so he's lost his rank. He's lost his authority. He's lost his power. I'll tell you, when this angel comes down, he's going to hunt Satan down. He's going to lay hold on him. He's going to handle him, and he's going to hurt him. He's going to come after him with tremendous force. Amen. He's going to lay hold on the dragon. Hallelujah. Now I got to reading that, and I thought to myself, Brother Grant, I mean, if I read verse 2 and 3 correctly, he's got a great chain in his hand and a key to the bottomless pit. And then he's going to lay hold on Satan. I wish I'd brought my keys. Somebody got a set of keys this morning. I won't steal your car. What are you driving? But I can see that angel. He's got that chain in one hand. He's got that key in the other hand. I thought about Jesus when he come out of the grave. You want to come out with a set of keys. That wasn't keys to the bottomless pit. It was keys to death and to hell. But I'll tell you what, that angel's got that key to the bottomless pit. He's got that great chain in his hand. And he's going to lay, I thought, how's he going to lay hold on that dragon? There's only one way to do it if you're from Chatsworth. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm the one that'll be worried, amen. It's in your pocket. Do you think about the strength of this angel? He's going to come down after Satan. He got that chain in his hand, got that key, and there's Satan. He's going to probably... grabbing like that. In fact, he's probably going to do this. Pronghorn. Start. Ain't even going to be a struggle. No struggle. You notice there's no struggle in that text. There's no battle in that text. There's no fighting in that text. There's no option in that text. Amen. I'm telling you, when the devil comes or when the angel comes, he's coming. He's going to one hand the devil. Amen. He's going to one hand him like that and take that chain. He's going to wrap it around that booger so fast. His head's going to swim. Amen. And he's going to cast him into that pit. I'm talking about you want to talk about shouting. You want to talk about worshiping God. The church will be cheering him on. Heaven's going to be shouting him on. The King of Glory is going to be shouting him on when the devil is wrapped up and cast away. Hallelujah. He's going to hurt the devil. Amen. And I notice not only his capture, but thank God, look at his character. Amen. But God calls the devil for who he is. He calls him the dragon. That speaks of his cruelty. A dragon is seen as cruel and brutal and bloody. And that perfectly describes the devil. He's called the serpent. That speaks of his craftiness. You think about the old deceiver is who he is. The old serpent taking him back to the garden. If you look at these names, it starts from eternity past. He is the dragon that was cast out of heaven. He is the old serpent that came walking in the garden in the book of Genesis. And then he is the devil. That speaks about his criticism. When you consider the word devil, it means slander. Amen. He's a critic. Amen. And then his name Satan speaks of his contention, because the name Satan means adversary. He is the adversary. He's the enemy. He's the enemy of God. He's the enemy of the cross. He's the enemy of Christ. He's the enemy of the church. He's the enemy of the nation of Israel. That the devil is our adversary. Amen. And God calls the devil out for who he is. It is not a time to whitewash sin. Sin and Satan needs to be named. You know, there's so much sin going on in our country and around this world today. It's sickening. Today, people don't want to hear a lot of preaching on sin in a lot of places. But you can't have revival without preaching on sin. You ain't going to have revival if you welcome the devil into your church. Is that right? Sometimes the devil's got to be cast out so you can have revival. And if you're here and you're a slanderer, you're someone that's always criticizing, I won't say this. You may be saved or you may not be saved. I don't know if you're saved or not. But I'm going to tell you one thing, people, that's all they ever do about the church is slander the church and criticize the church. I have a hard time believing they're sheep. Amen. I got a good idea. They never slid forward. They're a goat. Amen. Hey, people always criticizing everything going on around the house of God. Always talking about everybody and everything. Got their nose in everything. Got a tongue, amen, to roll out here to the Florida line. And I hear my friend, listen, they think they work for the FBI and they're always investigating everybody's life and got something to say about somebody in the church. You know what I'm telling you, right? I'm just saying you're never more like the devil than when you slander people and criticize people and run people down. I'm telling you, Christians don't do that. Amen. We love people. We forgive people. We pray for people. We show mercy because we know we need mercy. And I'm telling you, them goats in the church, that's all they can do is get on the gossip stick and talk about people. And talk about, hey, that's what the devil does. Well, Brother Gravely, I don't say anything. People just come to me. You know why they come to you? Because you let them. Amen and amen and amen. You know why they come to you? Because you listen to that mess. I wouldn't listen to it 5 seconds. Amen. I tell you, if you'll shut them up, you know what they'll do like the devil? They'll slither off to somebody else with their garbage. Can I get an amen right there? I know it's Sunday morning, but that's good preaching any day of the week. I don't care who's doing the preaching. I'm just telling you, there's churches torn apart. There's homes torn apart. Hey, listen, Christians, we may know something, but we're supposed, he that is of a faithful spirit, he concealeth the matter. You see, just because I know something doesn't mean I'm to tell somebody. Well, I'm just trying to warn people. I don't believe that for 1 second. That's good. That's called good old-fashioned gossip. I don't know why I'm preaching on that, but I ain't sorry. it's got to be plowed up in a church. I'm telling you, if you've talked bad about somebody and you've told two or three people, I don't care if they are wicked as the devil. If you went and shared it with somebody, you owe that person you talked about an apology, and you owe them people you went to and talked about that person to an apology. Can I get an amen right there? And if you criticize something, amen, what you need to do, my friend, is go take a good look in the mirror and look at yourself and put yourself under the same criticism that you're putting somebody else under, because I'm going to tell you, at the end of the day, they ain't none of us squeaky clean. Can I get a witness on that this morning? I'm telling you, that's what the devil does. He brings up the past. He points out everybody's wrongdoings. He talks about everything that's not right. He's always criticizing, always slandering. He's a devil, amen. He's going to have his due one of these days. I preach on that sometime, just maybe it needs it, but maybe it just needs to be plowed up anyway. Sometimes my dad would have me out plowing with a tiller, and we wasn't planting a thing. And I'd be like, why are we plowing this, Dad? We don't want the ground to get too hard, son. Y'all know what I'm talking about? He bought a Troy Bit tiller when I was, we had a front tine tiller till I was about 12 years old, and thank God he got a Troy Bit one day. Come in a box, had to put the thing together back then. He put the thing, you thought he bought a brand new Cadillac when he bought that Troy Bit. And I thought, man, that's good. I'm glad you got that. No, I'm going to tell you something. We run that Troy Bilt till we just about blew the motor up on it. Amen. I'm telling you, we plowed everything up, had seven large gardens, amen, all stuff bigger than this room right here. If he saw a piece of property somewhere and somebody wasn't doing it, he'd say, hey, can I plant a garden there? I'll give you something. Well, sure you can. And so you know what? Me and my brother couldn't ride bikes, play baseball, do anything. He said, what's that got to do with this? I have absolutely no idea, but I'm telling you anyway. We spent our summers behind a Troy Bilt. Amen. I didn't ride a tractor, amen, didn't bale hay, but I run that thing till it about gone. Well, I know what I was telling you that for. I said, Dad, why are we plowing this? It's all over with. We done planted, you know, cleared it off, and we done planted turnip greens, and they done the frost done killed them out. Well, we just don't want the ground to get hard, son. Why? You know, sometimes a preacher, you just plow stuff up because I don't want the ground to get hard around here. Amen. Preach on everything in the church, amen. Even if you're preaching prophecy, still now a little gossip, amen. That just kind of cleans the arteries out in the church, isn't that right? Kind of puts the gossipers on the, you know, kind of got to put them, you know, on a run just a little bit so they'll behave for maybe a couple weeks, amen, until maybe everybody forgets that sermon. But don't you forget what I'm saying. I'm telling you this morning, when people slander people, they are like the devil. Sometimes God's people act like Satan. I don't know where that came from, but I'm not going to backtrack on it. I'm saying this morning, you notice Satan's character, then notice his confinement. Look at verse 2 and 3, and we'll be done this morning. Look at the process of it. The Bible said he bound him and he cast him. No 3 meals a day, a pillow and a cot for this booger. I'm talking about he gets the longest sentence of anyone, and he's going to live out every single day. Notice the period, it's 1,000 years. The pit, that word pit, he's going to be cast into that bottomless pit, that place of darkness. And I think about the poetic justice, because verse 3 is interesting. And he cast him in the bottomless pit, notice this, and shut him up and set a seal upon him. You want to underline those two phrases, shut him up and set a seal on him. I remember somebody else in the New Testament, they got shut up and a seal was placed upon them. And I think Satan was behind that. When Jesus died on the cross and he said, it is finished. And he said, Father, in thy hands I commend my spirit. And he gave up the ghost and they took him on the off the cross. And what if the Sadducee, or that was the chief priest that went to Pilate and said, let us set a watch before that tomb and let's put a stone there and let's put a seal on it so that they can't say that the disciples came. And that was God working in all of that. But you know, the devil was working also in that. I'll tell you what he did. He shut the sun Son of God up. They put a seal on that tomb. And I'm going to tell you what happened 3 days later. It didn't matter how big the rock was. The Rock of Ages rolled out, thank God, that day. And the seal was broken. And Jesus came out victorious. But I got news. There's coming a day, thank God, when the devil's going to be confined. Thank God. And I'm telling you, heaven is going to shut the devil up one of these days. Won't it be a good day when God shuts the devil up, amen, and puts a seal upon him? And for 1,000 years, that seal is not going to be broken. The poetic justice of God, that God is going to do to Satan what Satan tried to do to Jesus. And the purpose is this, that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. At the end of verse 3, the golden age has now come. The armies and the nations of the world have been disbanded. The great military leaders have fallen. They've ruined and they've decayed. The machinery of war has been smelted down and converted to the implements of peace. And the Bible said that they beat their swords into plowshares. Jerusalem has become the capital of the world. The throne of David is now there, and the 12 apostles will judge the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel, and Israel will rule the world. Thank God. The millennial temple is going to be built on the crown of Moriah's brow. Thank God that day. The nations of the earth will come to worship the living God. Prosperity will be evident from pole to pole and from river to river and from sea to shining sea. Can you imagine? There'll be no prisons, no hospitals, no mental institutes, no barracks, no saloons, no houses of ill repute, no gambling dens, no homes for the aged and for those who are sick, thank God. Such a day of that will be past. It'll be a lesser age. The bloom of youth, when a man will still be young at 100 years of age. Cemeteries will be nothing but crumbling relics. The past, the tears will be very rare. The wolf and the lamb, the calf, the lion, the cow, the bear, the child, the scorpion, they're all going to be at peace with each other because Jesus has come. The millennium is here. What a day that's going to be when he rules this earth. The principles on the Sermon on the Mount will be what God uses as the laws of the kingdom. Sin will be visited with swift and certain judgment. And thank God Satan will be bound and chained while we enjoy the splendor of a golden age. Won't that be wonderful? I'm telling you, if I was in this building lost, I'd get saved this morning. Because Jesus may come. If he comes while I'm preaching, if he comes before you get down this aisle, you'll be left behind. Sinner, you need to get in while you can. Is the Holy Spirit knocking on your heart to be saved this morning? If he is, you need to come. And if I was here this morning, I was backslid, I'd get right with God today. Because you don't want to face God at the judgment seat unprepared. I wonder this morning as we stand.